So we looked last week at the lectionary reading from John, where Jesus made this claim that he is the true vine. And we saw that Israel had been using the vine as a metaphor for who they were. So Jesus is effectively saying, I am the true Israel. I am what God intends God's people to look like. And we saw that God had intended that Israel produce good fruit, the kind of fruit that Jesus produced in his life. And as followers of Jesus, we too are meant to be grafted into that true vine, to let that love flow through us, so we also can produce the good fruit. We saw God doesn't look at us any differently. God just sees us as branches, and the only thing that really distinguishes us is what fruit we are producing, how closely connected we are to Jesus, how much we're letting that love flow through us, how much we're letting that come out. And if we produce good fruit, we're known as Christ's. If we produce bad fruit, then we are pruned. So clearly this idea of producing fruit is critical to following Jesus. So the next question that naturally arises in our minds is, well, what is the fruit that we are meant to produce? Unfortunately, Jesus doesn't leave us wondering, because in our reading today, Jesus explains what it is we're meant to produce as fruit. Love. A couple of weeks ago, the lectionary, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I give down my life for the flock. We see that in the Passion, how Jesus goes through with that claim that he is the good shepherd as he gives his life for the people of God. Here, the true vine producing the fruit of the vine, it's love, and that's what we are called to produce. And this changes so much of our understanding of who God is, if we understand that God's principal call is to love. We see all the commandments that we have through Hebrew Scripture that we all wrestle with so much. If we read them through the lens of love, they make much more sense. We hear the prophetic voice time and time again through Hebrew Scriptures. God calling prophets forward, reminding Israel of this core commandment to love, to care for the least, the orphan, the widow, to shelter the homeless, to clothe the naked, to feed the hungry. Love is who God is. And in the person of Christ, we have this fully revealed. We see the clearest picture of what God's love looks like in the person of Jesus. All the things he does in this ministry of his, he feeds the hungry, he cures the sick, he befriends the lonely, he brings in the outcast and makes them part of God's people once more. Because he loves. Because God sees God's creation, us, and loves and can't bear to see us hungry, naked, marginalized, outcast, and so on. And here's the point. As branches of the true vine, if Jesus represents the true Israel to love, as branches of that vine, we therefore have this same commandment to show this love to all we meet. And it's imperative we do these things, not because we're commanded to, but because we're connected to Jesus. Jesus' love comes through us, and that's all we can do. We can only love. We want to show this love to the world because God loves this world so much. God gave God's only Son. We all know that passage. And this is the message I believe Jesus gives his disciples in this reading today. As my Father loved me, so I love you, and I ask you remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and I have remained in his love. Love is the key to the whole thing. God loves Jesus. Jesus loves God. So Jesus does as God commands. And we saw at Easter the lengths to which Jesus goes to follow God's call. So what does Jesus want? That we love one another to the same extent that Jesus loves us. It's that simple. So then the next question is, well, if we've to love one another as much as Jesus loves us, how much does Jesus actually love us? And again, Jesus doesn't leave us hanging. He answers. Jesus loves us enough to die for us. That's the extent of his love, his willingness to die for us because of the love he bears us. The good shepherd who does not flee when danger comes, Jesus lays down his life. He says, there is no greater love a person can have for another than to lay down their life for their friends. Now, we have to be careful with the context because that passage is used to exhort people to go off to war and to kill one another and to fight for king and country. That's not the context Jesus is talking about. It's not grounds for emotional blackmail, that passage. Jesus is explaining to his friends just how much he loves them, enough to die for them. That's how much I love you. I will give my life for you because that's how much I love you. And I want you to love others to that same level of love. That way, if you show my love to all you meet, you will be known as my friend. Now, that's an unusual term for John to use, friend. As far as I know, there's only two people who've ever been called friends of God in Scripture, Abraham and Moses. And they're pretty heavyweight characters. I mean, Abraham, we've looked at him already. He is the father of our faith. He is what it means to be faithful. And Moses, this great leader who led Israel from slavery through the wilderness into the promised land and mediated the law. These are important figures in our faith, and they're the people who are called friends. So if we show God's love to others, we're suddenly finding ourselves in that same standing, in that same category as Abraham and Moses. And friendship is this close relationship, far closer than master and servant that we've been seeing before in Scripture. We have an understanding of friendship, and that colors our view. We think of our own friends in our own life, and we think how we feel towards our friends. I don't think that even comes close to what Jesus is talking about here. Jesus isn't talking about liking someone and wanting to go for a coffee with them in the morning, or go for a walk with them and catch up with them. He's talking about this deep-rooted, deep-seated love so much that he will actually give his life for that person. That's what he's talking about. Those he loves are his friends, and they're the ones he will die for. That's us, if we show that love. That's the relationship that Jesus is offering us with God, if we show this love, if we root ourselves in Christ and let Christ's love flow through us. Friends have this much deeper relationship than masters and servants. As Jesus says, a master will instruct the servant to go and do something and never give a reason, doesn't have to. Servant doesn't need to know what's in the master's mind. Servant just goes and does it, that's your role. A friend will be confided in. A friend will be taken into confidence. A friend will be brought into the inner circle and explained, here's what I'm looking at, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I want you to do. Jesus says, God has revealed all of who God is to me, and I am revealing all of who God is to you because you are my friends. And that's the point. That's the thing. Being friends with Jesus leads us to understanding God's knowledge, leads us to understanding God's mind, and it's as simple as this. Love. That is all this is talking about. This love brings us into this new relationship with God, this deeper, closer relationship than anyone hearing this passage for the first time could ever have imagined, being brought into this inner friendship with God. And Jesus, true to his word, gifts us with God's Spirit, which links us to God's mind, and we have this link permanently with God, so we know God's mind at all times, and we can discern God's will. It's utterly remarkable. If you're listening to John telling this to John's community, you're going to be blown away. Because you know Jewish scripture, and you know that the God's Spirit was only given to a few people in history for a specific thing. You know that it wasn't just offered to everyone. The prophets were gifted the Spirit so they could speak God's words. The judges were gifted God's Spirit so they could judge Israel. But here, it's just offered to everyone. You can be as close to God as Abraham and Moses were if you love. Before we get ahead of ourselves and we start patting ourselves on the back, Jesus reminds us, he brings us back down to earth. God is the actor in all this. God chose Abraham. It wasn't Abraham's merit, it wasn't Abraham's conduct, it wasn't Abraham's lifestyle that got him chosen. God chose Abraham. God chose Moses. At the time God chose Moses, Moses was a fugitive under death penalty for murder. Hard on the sort of conduct we would think would make him endearing to God. And yet God chose Abraham and God chose Moses, and they fulfilled God's call. And that's what Jesus reminds the disciples. You haven't done anything to deserve this. It's just grace. It's just love, pure and simple. So with the elation of being elevated into this standing with God, this friend of God, comes this responsibility, this humility of knowing we didn't deserve it. It's grace. And that's the point I was making last week. It's not faith by works. It's gratitude. It's life-changing. It's changing how we live because of what God has done for us. That's at the core of this. Now, John then goes on to explain why the disciples need to know this, because the next passage talks about the hatred of the world that's coming to them. And the lectionary skips over onto that, into John 17 next week, so we won't be looking at that. But Jesus is sending these people out into the world, and he's telling them, you're going to meet animosity, you're going to meet persecution, you're going to meet resistance and hostility and violence, so you need to know you're loved. You need to know you're doing God's will when you go out and face this hardship in the world. And by bearing this love into the dark places of the world, you will show God's love and you will bring God's kingdom. That's the point. Don't be disheartened. God loves you. Show God's love. Change the world. Love is what defines us as people. We were made to love. We are made in the image of God, and God is love. So we were made to love. And the only way we can actually express this humanity is through love, loving one another. It's how we are truly human. Jesus, the true vine, the real Israel, shows us that God's people are meant to love. And Jesus comes and gives us this love and says, let it be through you. Let this love come through you out into the world and transform your communities. Through living like this, we will be known as Christ's. Those who Christ loves and we love back. We change the world through love. Maybe not on a global scale, but certainly in our communities, certainly in our homes. Through these acts of love, we become more human and live closer to how God is calling us to live, by loving one another. And those we love see this and think it's odd, it's bizarre, it's different, it's not how everyone else is behaving. What is it about this that's different? And it begins this process of advancing God's kingdom. Love is the heart. It's the core of our religion. And we see Christianity, therefore, isn't just a product on the spiritual marketplace. Something with a 28-day money-back guarantee, try before you buy. That's not Christianity. You don't pick it up and drop it. It's unique because it claims God comes to us in person to show us love and invites us into that life itself. That God personally sets up God's kingdom and shows us how life is meant to be, how life is actually going to be one day, and invites us to participate in spreading the good news that God's kingdom is here, God's love is here. It's got nothing to do with liturgy. It's got nothing to do with scripture. It's got nothing to do with 1-2-1, believe it or not. It's just down to acknowledging that God is love, that God loves us, and God longs for us to love God and others. And in God's love, we see it perfectly demonstrated in the life, the ministry, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. A couple of years ago, I was having a conversation with a colleague of mine, and he said to me, do you not think that if everyone lived like Jesus, if everyone just lived a life exactly the same as Jesus, would we already not just be in heaven? Now, I'm paraphrasing him, and I think he's right. We know the time is coming when the kingdom will be realized. We know the time is coming when there is no more hunger, there is no more thirst, there is no more homelessness, there is no injustice, there are no marginalized people. We know that time is coming. It's the promised end in our theology and in our Bibles. And when we think of what that looks like in reality, when we think of what that actually would be like to live in that, we realize it's just people living, showing Christ's love to one another all the time. And what Jesus says is, you don't have to wait. You don't have to hang on until the end of Revelation. You can make this right here, right now, by loving one another. So this is what we're doing. This is what the church's mission is, to display and to show God's love and to advance God's kingdom, person by person, act by act. Now, no one says it's going to be easy, and Jesus does go on in this passage to explain how difficult it's going to be. And in your own life, you'll know people who go out of their way to be totally unlovable. But friends, it's not an option. It's not a take it or leave it. It's not something that you can choose to ignore like a whole heap of other stuff that we do with the Bible. It comes to this. It's the one biggie. It's the one thing on which we stand or fall. Do we love? Do we love one another as much as Jesus loves us? That's the question. Now, I know I can't answer that fully. I know I fall short. But friends, that's the prayer. Might we know God's love because we've seen it revealed in the person of Jesus Christ? Might we understand that God's love for us was displayed in this person who came and established God's kingdom on earth and gave his life for us so that we might find a way back? And in gratitude for what God has done for us, might we root ourselves in that love and allow that love to be seen in how we live and how we love? Might we love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and might we love our neighbor as ourselves? And might we daily seek the Holy Spirit's strength to love one another in these difficult and complicated times? Amen.